This is a true story taken from an actual medical file.
Good evening. This is Melvin Hoffman, your host, bidding you welcome once again to Medical File. Tonight's story concerns a young man. A young man, rich, spoiled perhaps, but a human being who was in agony. Agony of the mind. Now let me qualify that. His case history is one that I remember vividly. And I remember the state the young man got into, the degradation of the spirit, the soul, the body, as his mental condition started to dominate his very being. Yes, tonight, a story I think will grip you, as it gripped me when it unfolded. I've called it The Lost Hours.
Bristol Myers, makers of new Volt toothpaste, take great pleasure in presenting Medical File. Factual stories of the men and women whose vigilance guards our lives. A reconstruction of clinical case histories, step by step with the doctors who were there. Tonight, in Medical File, Bristol Myers presents The Lost Hours by Brian O'Shaughnessy.
I think you may feel as I do that today's world is very largely geared to the young. In so many forms of commerce, industry, anything you may care to mention, the stress is on the young. What they want, what they do or do not achieve. Perhaps this is as it should be, perhaps not. But Michael Richards was a product of today's world. A young man, callow, inexperienced, rough almost, but not without sensitivity as you'll hear. The world should have been his oyster, but it wasn't. I first met him in very strange circumstances. Hello, Melvin Hoffman here.
Oh, Melvin, morning to you. Sorry to disturb you so early in the day.
And who's speaking? No, wait a moment. Of course, Inspector Henson. For the moment, I couldn't identify you. Edmund, it must be years since I heard from you.
2 years, to be exact.
2 years.
Well, I asked you to give us some advice, remember, on the forensic side.
Yes, that's right. Are you well?
Yes, working too hard. I read some of your stuff. Nice work.
No, thank you, but that wasn't why you rang.
No, it wasn't. Melvin, I wonder if you'd do something for me. I know this is something of an imposition after so long, but...
Come on, out with it.
Well, I'll be frank. We've had a young man on the cells for the night, a young man called Michael Richards.
Lee Michael Richards?
Exactly. I'd heard that, well, that Morton Richards' father was once a patient of yours, that you still kept in touch, that you are a friend of the family.
What's he done?
Oh, nothing serious, Melvin. Drunk and disorderly, using foul language in a public place, you know, that kind of thing. But I'd like to hand him over to you before he goes back to his father.
But why me?
You're a doctor. A good one.
Well, why should he see a doctor?
He needs help, Melvin.
Well, surely his father can give him that. I mean, I haven't seen him for such a long time. Why not since he was just about to leave high school? I mean...
Can I bring him to you?
What's up, Inspector?
I'll let you see for yourself, Melvin. Then you'll understand.
Very well. You're a cryptic as always, eh? Just bring him along, Inspector. Have you found his father?
No, not yet, Melvin. I will later.
All right, I'll be here. You haven't forgotten my address, have you? It's... And so it began. I was intrigued by the call from Inspector Henton of the local police. Why me, I wondered. True, I knew Morton Richards and knew his wife before they divorced. But why did the son need a doctor? I was soon to find out. The door opened, in came my friend the inspector, and with him was Michael Richards. Well-dressed, a little creased up perhaps, but still presentable. A lock of hair fell over his eyes, making him look rather vulnerable. But it was his eyes that caught my attention. They were vacant, lost. Sit down, please. Michael?
No.
Please sit down. Have you eaten?
You had a meal before you left the station, Melvin.
Has the cat got your tongue, Michael?
No.
Now, Michael, I'm not quite sure what it is the inspector here wants, but he brought you to me. And knowing him, this will not have been without reason. Now, you spent the night in jail?
Yes.
Inspector, how can I help? I'm a little lost here.
Ask him what happened last night, Mervyn.
Well, Michael, what did happen last night?
I don't know. That's all he'll say.
I don't know.
You were at a party, Michael. You were drunk. You swore at the policeman who arrested you. You tried to punch him one. That was at 10 p.m. You were brought to the station. I wanted to phone your father. You couldn't give me his phone number, or you wouldn't.
May I go now? Tell me when I've got to appear in court, but let me go now.
Michael, do you know me?
No.
You've never seen me at your home?
No.
Just look at me. I'm going to shine a light in your eyes. Where do you live?
I don't know.
You know, Inspector, this is rather outside my province, but I have a spare room. You'd obviously want Michael to go to court sometime, but that's some way off. Let him rest here for a while. I'll phone his father.
Thank you, Mervyn. You know why I brought him to you now.
Yes, I know. I'll keep in contact with you, Inspector. Now, Michael, I suggest you get some rest. Obviously, you didn't get much last night. Now, if you'd follow me...
Wait. I remember that. The wheelchair.
Yes, I have to use one.
Somewhere, I remember. In a house with many rooms. A man, and that chair. There was lots of laughing and talk. Long ago now.
I'll take you to your room, Michael. You can rest there. I'll contact your father and tell him you're here.
My father. Of course. My father.
I took Michael Richards to the spare room. He lay down on the bed, and with a sigh, he relaxed and almost immediately fell asleep. Then I went downstairs again and showed Inspector Henton out to his car. I knew now why he'd brought the young man to me. Henton was a hardened policeman, but he knew a troubled soul when he met one. Michael Richards was either feigning a loss of memory or he was in a state of amnesia. To me, he wasn't acting. Now, an amnesiac needs help, and Henton knew this. I knew it, too. And although it was really none of my business, I liked Mike Richards and his father enough to want to help. I rang the father. He came round to my house.
He's been a liar all his life.
Easy on that.
I'm the boy's father, I should know. Ever since Judith and I divorced, it's been the same. He stayed out at night, lied about where he'd been. Sometimes he disappeared for a week or so. Then he'd turn up, scruffy, dirty, smelling to high heaven, telling me that he had no idea where he'd been, what he'd done. Poppycock. But he needs a good thrashing.
He's not a child, Morton. I examined him briefly, very briefly. He doesn't take drugs. At least he wasn't under the influence of drugs when I examined him. The light in his eyes. Pupils were normal. And I don't think he was faking either, Morton.
This is hardly any of your business, you know.
I know.
I'm sorry, Melvin.
Right.
Shall I take him home? If I do, he'll only push off again. Be picked up again somewhere by the police. I can't tell you how many fines I've paid on his behalf.
What's he trying to forget?
Well, how the devil would I know?
You're his father.
Only a name. You think me heartless, don't you? But I've stood just about enough. I've my own life to lead now. My business prospers even more than it did. I'm a busy man.
Too busy to care about your son's welfare?
No, but... what do I do about him? I felt that I was getting anywhere, but I'm not. I sent him to the best schools, to university, dropped out art school, he left after a month. I've given him all that money can buy.
And affection?
I haven't held back on that, Melvin. You have my word on that. But there's a barrier now between us. I didn't erect the barrier, he did.
I last saw you, Morton, just after your divorce. Forgive me for bringing it up, but...
I divorced Judith on the grounds of her mental instability. On her inability to live a normal, balanced, sane life with me. I didn't want to do it. I had to. For my own sake. Yes, I'll be frank, and for Michael's.
She died soon after.
Yes, she took her own life. You blame me for that?
How can I? You did what you felt was right.
Now he turns out to be out of his mind?
I didn't say that. Now, where's he living?
Oh, in Diggs somewhere, don't ask me. He gets a monthly allowance. Funny, he never forgets to go and collect that.
What matters most to you? Your son's health or your business, your reputation?
If I knew that Mike had some affection for me, I'd try to make up to him again. But he hasn't. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
You want me to take him with me?
I doubt that he'd go with you, Morton. Would you allow him to stay here for a while? I think something has triggered off this adverse mental state of his. It could have been the divorce. Did he ever have lapses of memory before the divorce?
Once or twice. I thought he was pulling my leg. But tell me, why the interest? You're a busy man, busy writer. Why me? Why my son?
Perhaps I didn't explain it too well over the phone to you. Hinton, Inspector Hinton, brought him to me. He was worried about Michael in more ways than one. Now, you say he's been in scrapes before?
Yes.
Minor escapades, getting tipsy, shouting in the streets?
Yes, but...
Before he left, Inspector Hinton wanted to know if I could inquire fully into Michael's state of mind. Because Michael is perhaps forgetting something... Perhaps something he did.
Sorry, I'm not with you.
Well, loss of memory can happen to an adolescent. It's a sign of a mental disturbance, a worry. It stops at maturity, usually. Michael's has continued. He can't remember what he did last night. Now, he's no alcoholic, so it isn't that. What is he hiding, Morton? What guilt complex in him makes him lapse into amnesia now, as he stands on the threshold of maturity?
You think he's committed a crime?
Inspector Hinton thinks so.
And you, Melvin?
Something has happened. Not just the divorce, although that could be contributory. I'm no policeman, far from it, but for his own sake, Michael needs help. His mind has to be dug into. Not by me. I can find a qualified man to do it.
Then do it, please.
What do you mean by that?
Exactly what I said. I don't want anyone looking into my mind, searching deep inside me. There are secrets. I mean things that no one should know about. Why should I share them?
Secrets, Michael?
I meant just your innermost thoughts. Things personal to you. Well, look, do me a favor. I'm grateful for your interest in me, but I think I'll push off now. I've got a few quid on me. I can pick up some more from the bank at the end of the week. I'll find another place to hang out.
Michael!
Yes?
Are you going to go through your life like this?
Like what?
Don't be a fool, boy. You know what I mean. Suffering these losses of memory. Not quite knowing where you've been, what you've done. Patches of your life left blank and always a mystery to you and a worry.
If I see this crack, what will he do to me?
He'll help you.
How?
By uncovering the cause of your amnesia attacks.
And what... What if I've done something? Your inspector friend thinks I've done something, doesn't he?
He feels you may have done something, yes, but not necessarily a criminal act. Perhaps something against your moral code that you want to hide now. So your unconscious mind helped you forget the incident. But unfortunately, your unconscious has run into a pattern. You're forgetting too many things. Every time you, well, go off the rails, have a few drinks, you forget what you've done. And you could be like this all your life.
And if what I've done is... bad?
Isn't it better to face it?
No, it isn't. What if I've assaulted someone? Killed them even? What if I murdered someone?
Have you?
How do I know? It's all right for you. I'm the one who's got to find out. I don't want to find out. I don't want to.
And all your life you'll be living in fear. Watching. Listening. Listening to a door opening. Waiting for the phone to ring to tell you something. Michael, I think you're exaggerating a little. You may not have taken someone's life. In fact, from what I know of you, that would be against your nature to kill.
Who truly knows anyone?
All it needs is courage.
Yes, yes, to crucify myself. May I think about it?
I want you to come with me tomorrow. Eric Setman's a good friend of mine. Michael, you need to know about yourself. If you're going to lead a sane, normal life again?
Yes. Perhaps behind prison bars. All right. I'll do it. Tomorrow, you say?
He has had 8 attacks of amnesia in all, I understand.
That's right.
On 7 of these occasions, he has, fallen foul of the law. That is how you would say it in English, eh?
That's right. And the 8th?
From what I understand from you, and also from the boy, the 8th occurred during the period 5th to 10th January this year. He remembers leaving his place of accommodation. He remembers taking a bus. He remembers traveling somewhere. And then he remembers the morning of the 10th. A Tuesday. When he went to the bank to take the allowance his father gives him, between nothing.
And that's when it happened?
Yeah, if anything happened. You know, he has the strong Oedipus complex. He loved his mother deeply, too much so, which was unhealthy. This much I learned from him in my rooms here. With it goes a hatred for his father, for having his mother divorced. I believe the father pleaded her mental instability, huh?
So he told me.
But no record of insanity in the family, her family.
No, I've checked that.
So what she suffered was perhaps a psychoneurotic term. It happens. I can understand a man of Morton Richards' kind feeling distressed at this, at her inability to keep pace with him, as it were. He is, you say, a go-ahead man.
Oh, very much so.
So then, what next, Melvin? You have checked police records for the 5th to the 10th January?
I haven't, not yet.
Please do so. You may find that he has attacked a woman.
Hmm.
Or he has attacked a man. I give the boy back to you now. From him, find out if he has a girlfriend. Try to trace her.
And then?
And then you will ring me and tell me she has a strong physical resemblance to his mother.
I thank you. Yes, I know what you mean.
Good. Then take him with you. If you have not had the good result, bring him back to me. The case really rather interests me, you know that?
No, nothing, Melvin. Whatever scraping we have got into between the 5th and 10th of January certainly wasn't reported to us. Does that help?
Yes, a great deal. At least he hasn't committed a criminal offense.
What you mean is an offense that hasn't been reported to us, surely.
Oh, thanks for being so optimistic.
Melvin, I like the boy. I'm really putting our cards on the table. I don't believe I'm putting on the relentless bulldog act. I'm not trying to fork up anything for my own sake. I'll be as sorry as you'll be if Michael did do something drastic in that time.
I know. I'll ring you when I find out anything. If I find out anything. What was her name?
I don't know.
Yes, you do. This photo next to bed here. It's of her. Your girlfriend?
No. It's someone I met at art school, I think.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure.
What's her name, this girl?
I don't know.
So why do you keep her picture?
You're asking too many questions.
I met your mother once. She was lovely, like this girl. With the same wide eyes, the high brow, the long fair hair.
Don't talk about her.
This is your girlfriend, isn't it?
It's a girl. I met in the beginning of the year.
January?
Yes.
But you weren't at our school then. You told me you left our school in November last year.
I don't know.
Where do I find her, Michael?
I didn't even get her address. And what's it got to do with you anyway?
A great deal. It has more to do with you, of course. And you're being cured.
I honestly can't remember where she lives.
But she is or was your girlfriend.
Yes.
Her name?
Margaret. No. June Davies. I want to go to sleep now. I'm tired. I'm very tired. Tired.
I knew I was getting close to the cause of Michael's troubles now. Guilt is a strange thing. One's conscious mind craves punishment for something, for the crime or wrong committed. The unconscious mind covers that craving. But Michael, above all, wanted to be punished for what he'd done. Yes, that sounds odd, doesn't it? But it's true. By being punished, Michael's guilt would be absolved. His conscience could breathe again, so to speak. It took me 3 days to trace the girl called June Davies. Early that morning, I knocked on the door of her small flat.
Yes. What do you want?
June Davies?
Yes. Do you want something?
Just a little of your time. I'm Dr. Hoffman. You won't have heard of me. May I come in?
Well, what do you want to know?
Michael Richards.
Did he send you?
In a way, yes.
Yes, yes. Come in if you want to. I was just about to get myself a cup of tea. Would you care for some?
Oh, thank you.
Sugar?
Two, please.
There you are. I hope not too strong.
Oh, it's just how I like it. You don't seem totally surprised at my call.
Well, I was expecting someone. Michael himself or someone.
When did you see him last?
On the morning of the 10th of January. Why?
He's at my house. He's a very ill young man. You knew him well?
Yes. Well enough to know that he tried to kill me. You don't believe me, do you? Look here, on my throat. I still have the bruises from his fingers.
Yes.
I didn't go to the police. I just locked my door for a few days. I could have gone to them. Yes, I should have.
Yes, but...
But I couldn't. I couldn't go through with it.
How long have you known him?
6 months. We were going to get married. Then he... Why did he do it to me? Why? We were sitting here, talking as we've always done. Then suddenly his eyes seemed to go blank and he reached out for me. I thought he wanted to kiss me. Then his fingers went round my throat and he started squeezing, squeezing. I kicked at him, hit at him, and he got up and ran out of the flat. That was the last time I saw him.
But you love him still?
Yes.
And you'll help me?
Yes.
Then let me explain what I'm going to do. How do you mean, Eric?
It's simple, my friend. By dying, his mother deserted him. For this, the confusion of love and hatred in him. The girl seems like the mother. He wishes to punish the mother for deserting him. But this he cannot do, of course. So
he punishes the girl, June.
Yeah, that exactly.
And the girl, June, could he truly love her in the end?
But of course. Does not a girl often choose the father image and the boy the mother image? In right proportions, it is healthy. Please, bring him to me. Mm-hmm. I shall mentally speaking, break the boy down and build him up again. Yeah. And he will be a normal human being once more when I have finished the treatment with him.
I got Michael to see Eric Setman, and the treatments began. Morton Richards, his father, was only too happy to foot the bills. Obviously, he was not happy at the relationship he had with his son and wanted it rectified. Michael stayed with me for a while and then moved back to his digs, which he rather suddenly remembered. And June Davies waited patiently. Dr. Setman refused to allow Michael to see her, and then one day he rang me. He told me that Michael was mentally sound again. The agony had gone from him. The attacks of amnesia would not recur.
Hi!
Hello?
Hang on a second. Shall I get out? I mean, what will you two do?
I think we'll take the car down the street, and I'll drop Melvin at his house.
No, thank you.
Perhaps we might even have a drink together, Melvin, to celebrate.
Of course.
Off you go, son. Don't keep her waiting too long.
Go on, Michael.
All right. Thanks for the lift. Dad? I'll ring you tonight. Just to say hello. Okay?
Of course.
Bye, Dad.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. I shan't forget that sight in a long time. Sentimental, yes, but truly heartwarming. As we pulled away, I looked back. He was standing next to her, looking down at her. Then he reached out his hand, took hers, and they smiled at each other. In their smiles was all their radiance and promise of young love. As we turned the corner, they were still standing there. Then they walked up the street, still hand in hand, close to each other, as it should be. Yes, the story you've heard tonight had a happy ending, and I'm happy to think that I played a small part in it. And for now, until next week, this is your host, Melvin Hoffman, wishing you all good night. Thank you.
Medical File, the documented story of the men and women who in hospitals, research centers, and lonely surgeries guard our lives. The Lost Hours was written and directed by Brian O'Shaughnessy and produced for Bristol-Myers, the manufacturers of Vote Toothpaste, by David Manley.